God is so good. Why don't you take your seats this morning? My name's Amy and I'm a part of the team here. And as our little treasures are heading out, our 1 to 3-year-olds just through that side door to their program this morning, they're going to have a great time. I saw presents. I don't know if they're, hopefully they're for you, and Dean wasn't just carrying around a whole lot of presents, but I did see presents this morning. While they go out, I just want to take a moment just to welcome you here if it's your first time with us. We're here for you. We as a church exist to see people and our world changed by Jesus, because we've experienced Jesus change our life and continue to change our lives. And so we're excited that you're here this morning with us. I want to encourage you to lean into Jesus with us this morning and look at who he is and what he's doing even in the lives of people around us today. Because what you can see God doing in somebody else's life, I can guarantee he's able and wanting to do in your life as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just with me. We're leaning into Jesus a little bit harder this morning. You know, who's experiencing Christmas kind of hectic chaos build up, been to the shops lately. It's quite intense and it's increasing. And so some of us are kind of leaning even harder into Jesus today. Big welcome to our Thrive kids who are with us today, our 4 to 11-year-olds. Isn't it great to have them with us today? Why don't we give them a hand? We love these guys. And our kids are in with us during the holidays. We just really love doing that for two reasons. We really value family and worshiping God together and setting the example for our children and them being embraced in church life with us in here. But also we really value that our leaders and our volunteers and those that are serving in our kids' ministry. I wonder if we can give them a hand as well and just really thank them this morning. We're so thankful for how you guys just serve week after week with our young people, helping to disciple them to Jesus. It's great. Hey, kids, I heard you had a Christmas party last week. Did you have fun? Oh, yeah, party time. You know, we hear you guys cheering out there sometimes. I don't know if it's just me, every now and then someone's starting to preach. And because our kids' ministry is happening on the other side of this stage, every now and then we hear this big cheer. And I love it. I love that you guys are having fun learning about Jesus. How many sleeps till Christmas? Two sleeps till Christmas. How exciting. Well, we're going to finish our series this week, which has been called Happy Christmas Words. And we've had a look at joy and hope and peace. And the reason why we're doing this whole series about Christmas words is that we really believe they're not just a word to look at Christmas time, but it's actually something that we can have access to through Jesus and our relationship with him, as our lives are based on who he is day in, day out, and that we can grow in more and more. And today we're looking at love. And I'm pretty excited because I read 1 Corinthians 13, which is a book in the Bible, in the verse 3 and 4. I think we've got it and it's coming up on screen, and it says three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So I think I locked out a lot getting love this week because it's the greatest. And I love what it says next. It says, let love be your highest goal. I love that sentence. Let love be your highest goal. And I wonder, as we're sitting in here this morning together, at the moment, what your highest goal would be. Right now, what's on top of the priority list this morning? Kids, what's on top of your list? Is it getting to Christmas Day so I can open all the presents? My highest goal is marking off two more sleeps. Maybe our highest goal this morning, maybe you've had a crazy week this week, and your highest goal this morning is staying awake during the message. That's a good one. Maybe your highest goal this morning is getting your Christmas shopping finished. Maybe it's getting through Christmas Day because we're with family and sometimes there's conflict. Sometimes we're busy visiting 10 different people on the same day. Maybe your highest goal is not to eat all of the Christmas baking in the house. Anybody with me? I've already begun. That's one of my goals. But I wonder what it would look like. Imagine if for each of us, love was our highest goal. Love was on top of the to-do list. Love was the highest priority during this Christmas season and onwards. Imagine if love was our highest goal. Imagine if Christmas Day comes around and instead of having other goals and wanting to be satisfied in so many different ways, if we were just, our goal was just to love. We have a bit of a treat this morning. We have, for the final time for 2018, some of you may have been around in the 90s and still, I think, currently on TV, you might have seen Dr. Phil. We kind of took a spin on that and we created our own Dr. Paul. Well, we didn't create him, God did. But Paul, why don't you come up? Paul's going to share with us last time for 2018. Here he is, Dr. Paul. Keep the applause going. Come on. He's going to share with us about love this morning.
How do you follow that? But I better get going because my time is going to go. You know, when you look at the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, there are several words which are used for love. And they range in meaning from caring provision to deep friendship to enduring commitment and the love that God has for his people. And so in relation to the New Testament, the word that is always for love, that's always used in relation to God, is the word agape. And it has the idea of actually prizing the object to which it's directed. It originates in God's own nature, and it keeps loving even if unreciprocated. And so when you look at love that way, everything that God does is motivated by agape when he in his dealings. Even God's anger or wrath, as the Bible talks about, is motivated by his love because it's angry at that which mars his creation, you see. And so in 1 John, which if you ever have time, read 1 John. It's the great letter of love. It talks about love. It says that love is of God in chapter 4, and God is love. God is love. And so it's not an attribute of God. Love is not an attribute of God. God is love is in his very nature. That is God. And the great thing about Christians, that we have a God who actually loves. In Islam, God is not loving. In fact, in the sense that he loves all, he only loves the believer. But in Christianity, God loves. In fact, God loves even if unreciprocated, because the Bible tells us that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because the greatest expression of God's love is the giving of himself in his Son. Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting love, life. And so you see that we have the love that God has given in that he's giving towards an object who is us. You see, Amy touched on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What does this love look like? 1 Corinthians 13, which is about spiritual gifts, by the way, it talks about how to exercise them. It talks about the way of love. And in verses 4 to 8, I won't read it all, but it talks about love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. Is not arrogant or rude. Doesn't insist on its own way. Is not irritable or resentful. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. And protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Love never fails. And as verse 13 of that chapter says, love is the greatest virtue because it's, you know, greater than faith and it's greater than hope. In fact, faith works by love, it tells us. And you and I don't have to be worthy to receive God's love. We just have to receive it. We just have to receive it. You see, the interesting thing that it says in 1 John again, 3 verse 1, it says the following, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You see that? The love that has been lavished upon you and I is the love that comes because we have become God's children and he treats us as children. You know, when you look at other faiths, we have so much blessing because our God's a bigger God, a better God, because he makes us a son-father relationship because of the love that he lavishes upon us. You see that we love, why?
Because he first loved us. And you might think, well, I can't love like God. Do you know? No, you can't. But you know what God does? He pours out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 tells us, so that we're able to love like God loves, because he gives us the ability. That's an amazing thing to realize. The other aspect too, that fear of condemnation is removed through the love that God's poured into us and on us. Because it tells us again in 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love drives out fear, because we are no longer heading for punishment. You see, and it says that's love. Why? Because we know that the Father loves us. Why? Because he gave us his Son and we've embraced his Son. Therefore, we don't have the fear of condemnation, of punishment, because of his love. In fact, as I'm closing this morning, and I'm going to get it in the time, I reckon, today. In fact, a Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And this morning, I just want to encourage you, do you feel his love? Have you embraced his love? Have you experienced his love in your life? Because you know what? You can, as you embrace his Son, who the Father gave for us. Thank you.
So good, so good. Anyone have a favorite Christmas movie? What's your favorite Christmas movie? Tell me. Home Alone. Elf. What else? The Grinch. It's a Wonderful Life. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Home Alone. I love Home Alone. Out of Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, put your hand up if Home Alone 1 is your favorite. All right, hands down. Home Alone 2. I'm with the Home Alone 2ers. I reckon it's awesome. And one of my favorite parts is right at the end of the movie, not to spoil it for you, but when they're all in the apartment together and the kids are sleeping pretty much on top of each other in a small room. And one of the kids wakes up, which is the kid that wets the bed so he has a double bed to himself. You with me? No shame there, because I was a child bed wetter too. Everybody with me say aye. No, you don't have to. I'm just joking. All right, so this kid wakes up before everybody else in the room and he sees the sun coming through and he's like, it's morning. And he's like, it's Christmas. And then the kids wake up. I love that moment because it makes me remember what it was like when I was a kid. And you know, you wake up in the morning and you're just waking up. Then all of a sudden you realize what? It's Christmas. And then you're all excited. And I just love that wonder. I love the wonder of Christmas. I love looking at kids as they, are you with me? Kids just seem to like appreciate the wonder of Christmas. You know, you go to the brewery lights or you go past a house and there's one row of like, you know, pretty lonely lights. Like, let's be honest, not a lot of thought went into that decoration. But kids could still be like, wow, look at the lights. They still see the wonder. And I just wonder about these wonder moments in our life. I was thinking about newborns and babies. When we meet a baby for the first time or you have your own baby, it's just amazing. It's this moment of wonder. It's like, this baby's amazing and everything that it does is amazing. You know, the child grows up a little bit and begins to take those first steps. Remember the wonder of those first steps. You know, you're calling everybody in. You get out the camera. Everybody's in the lounge room watching and cheering. You with me? It's so exciting. And then we want to post it for everybody to see. Our child is walking. And we're caught up in the wonder of that moment. But 20 years later, do we still have the same wonder when we see people walking around? We don't, because somehow we get used to it and the wonder kind of wanes a little bit. We're like, I've seen you do that for 20 years now. It's actually not that impressive anymore. I wonder what your wonder moment with God was like. If you've had one of those moments where you realize for the first time the reality for you that God loves you, like Paul was talking about. I remember one Christmas holidays when I was at a holiday house. We were reminiscing together with the kids last night. I remember being in this room and I shared a double bed with my sister, but she wasn't in the room. And I remember that there was a little cupboard that had a weird musty smell because it was a pretty old holiday house, but it had a key and I thought that was cool. And we'd fight over who got to put their clothes in the cupboard. I remember what the house was like. I remember what it felt like. I remember sitting on that bed by myself one night, pulling out my Bible and just somehow reading about Jesus and how he had died for me and everything that he went through. And I remember in that moment having my own wonder moment of the love of God for me. I wonder if you can remember the moment where you've realized God's love for you, and maybe this morning is the first time for you. Maybe today will be your moment to realize his love for you. I remember speaking to one of my neighbors when we lived just a street or so away and talking to her about life, and she was telling me how hard life was for her family back in China, how much they had to struggle for everything, how it was really hard financially, you had to have enough money for everything. And I remember sharing with her about Jesus and the fact that she had never heard about Jesus before. And she had a wonder moment in the hallway of my house as she started crying, thinking about how great the love of God is for her. I wonder what our wonder moment is. You know, when we think of what God has done, he not only created us, and then pretty much we just chose to live life our own way and try and make life work ourselves without him. But because of sin, there had to be somebody that was a sacrifice for that sin. There's always a penalty for sin because we turned away from God. So there's this gap in our relationship with him. And I love how Paul explained that because of Jesus dying on the cross, coming to the earth as a baby, growing up as a man, showing us what God was like, being the visible image of the invisible God. Because of God's love, he sent Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross and took our place and paid the price for my sin and your sin and then died and was buried and rose again 3 days later so that we could know this same life, so that we could know this same joy, so that we could have access to this hope and this peace and life forever with him. I wonder if we are still in awe and wonder at the love of God and all that he has already done for us. Maybe today we're revisiting that wonder together. You know, I remember when Dan and I got married, and we got married on a beach. And I remember coming, we were barefoot. We were pretty hippie, but not, / alternative, / independent, / I don't know, but we loved our wedding. Anyway, I remember, walking down the sand dunes and coming to Dan, and my dad married us. So I was pretty relaxed. I rewatched the video and I realized what Dad meant when we got to the bit that says, "You may now kiss the bride." And then my dad was like, "Not that I have to say that to you because you've been kissing the whole way through anyway." I realized watching the video that we pretty much did kiss on and off all through the ceremony. Like as soon as I got down there, there's a little kiss, you know, having communion. You love it, kids, don't you? We kissed again. They love it. Kids love it when parents kiss. They do. Jordan and Damon, love it. They do because they love that mom and dad love each other. It's a good thing. Anyway, we were caught up in that moment when we were married because that was a wonder moment for us. I was caught up in Dan and that God had finally brought us together and here was this guy that I'd waited for and I knew God's hand upon him, upon us being joined together and I just knew it was God and I didn't care about anybody else and I didn't even realize what Dad was really doing. We were just together in this moment, obviously. But there has been times over the 15 years that we've been married through 3 children and life that I've lost the wonder sometimes. It's hard to believe. He's laughing in shock. Because I've stopped looking at him sometimes and just got so busy. But when I stop and I look again at who he is, I mean, look at that. Just looking at him. Wonder moment right there, babe. When I look about him and when I stop and I think about who he is and when I think about him and I begin to be thankful for who Dan is, it's like the wonder grows again. Are you with me? You were just like, serious marriage, he's with me. And I think that's the same with us in our relationship with God, is that we can become so used to God and so used to what he does. We can lose the wonder. And I want to encourage us this morning to keep the wonder. keep the wonder. And I think maybe as we keep looking at God's love and keep the wonder of who he is and what he's done, and we have a heart that's thankful, maybe we'll end up a little bit like this guy. We're just going to play a clip for you this morning.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Yeah. Hey, Christy! Hey. You're here too! Mm. I love you!
I know!
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off, whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
Ah, shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys? Food.
I love food. What? A briefcase? You gonna have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
The what?
Dad, be careful!
Oh. I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
Oh. A car!
And don't forget your coffee!
You're the best.
How cool is that? I just love that reminder to keep the wonder. There's so much we take for granted and we have so much to be thankful for, especially the love of God. So I encourage us this morning, let's make love our highest goal. Let's keep the wonder. And I love this. I was reading a book called Reduce Me to Love by Joyce Meyer, and she talks all about love in there. And she says that for love to actually be complete, it has to go full circle. Meaning like God loves us, so we receive his love, then we learn to look at ourselves as loved by him. But it doesn't just stop there. And I think sometimes we're just happy with receiving God's love, but it's a full circle because then we give love back to God and we learn to love others. It's important for us to do the whole circle with love. And there's a verse in Ephesians 5 that says, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ has loved us and given himself up for us. I love that phrase, to walk in love, to be people who would walk in love. And another way to say that is, in the Message version says in Ephesians 5, watch what God does and then do it. When we watch what God does and then do it, we begin to walk in love. The verse says, watch what God does and then you do it. Mostly what God does is love you. Mostly what God does is love you. He says, watch what I do. Be like me. Do what I do. You know, at home, we've got a little chalkboard set up under our TV, and I wrote on there this verse. It's from 1 Corinthians 6:13 that says, let love and kindness be the motivation behind all that you do. Why did I write that and put it up in our house? Because I'm always walking in love? Because I'm always, like the most loving? No, I put it up in our house because I need to be reminded to check my motive. I need to be reminded in all of my relationships, what's my motivation here? Is it coming from love? If I want to be somebody who is like Jesus and becoming more and more like him, I need to get my behavior in line with who he is and what he's done. You see, all that Jesus has done and God has done by Jesus making us right with God so we can be in relationship with him, that doesn't automatically mean that all of my behavior all of a sudden turns into love. This is a walk. We have to walk out this love. We have to walk it out. It means I have to bring my behavior in line with what God's done in my life. And it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing. But God wants us to watch what he does and then do it more and more. Like in 1 Thessalonians 4:10, it says, you already show your love, but do so more and more. Imagine if we were like, I want to walk in love, but I want to do it more and more. Because I know there's so much more love that could flow out of my life to people around me more and more. When we walk in love, we realize that love is not a feeling that we have, but it's a decision that we make. I can wake up some mornings and not feel very loving. But it's not actually about my feelings, it's about the decision that I make. We walk in love when we decide to treat people the way that Jesus would treat them. Not the way that I judge you or you judge me or we think is right or wrong. But when we choose to love people and treat them the way that Jesus would treat them. We walk in love when we don't wait to feel loving, but we choose to be loving. If I waited until I felt loving all of the time, I wouldn't be a very loving person. Because my feelings would be dictating what I do and how I love. But because my life is based on Jesus and who he is, because I've experienced the love of God, because I've experienced that even when I'm at my worst, like Paul said, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Because his love for me wasn't determined by who I was or what I did or if I was good enough. He just loves me. He just loves you. So if my life is based upon who he is, I want that same love to flow in and out of my life. And instead of waiting to feel loving, I'm going to choose to be loving. We're going to take communion together in a moment because I think as our hosts come and begin to hand out communion, communion is really, you'll see a little cup and it's not like one of those mini collectibles from Coles. You won't get anything if you try and sell this online, you know, stay for a year and have a whole pack. You're not going to get anything trying to sell it on Gumtree. But it represents the blood of Jesus, the little juice in the cup that we have. And the cracker represents the body of Jesus that was broken. It reminds us of the love of God that he would send his only son into our world. Thank you. To die on our behalf. What a great God. That he would make himself vulnerable and come as a baby into our world. That he would live amongst us. And that he would suffer and die on our behalf. What great love. So we're going to take communion in a moment. And I'd love us just to take a moment to be in wonder and in awe again. And to reflect on the great love of God. As we're handing out communion, I just want to read 1 Corinthians 13 in the Message version. And this is what love looks like. Love never gives up. God's never given up on you. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always, always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Would you stand with me as we hold communion together? And I just want to say too, sorry, I meant to say before, if you're just visiting with us today, I don't want you to feel any pressure to take communion this morning. This is something we do as believers in this place, as we're trusting Jesus. You're welcome just to lean into God and just to be with us in this moment. I just love to pray as we just hold the communion this morning. We remember what God has done through Jesus. Lord, as we look in wonder at your love, we want to take a moment to thank you. Thank you for how you love us. We thank you for your love. Thank you for that never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. Thank you for a love so great that you would give so great. Thank you that while we so didn't deserve it and don't deserve it, you still gave it to us. You see us at our worst. Lord, you still love us. Thank you for your love. Maybe you just want to, in your own, like, this is about you and him. Like, I can say my words, but what's really going to have power in your life is you talking to God. And maybe right now we can just be, God, thank you that you love me. Hey, this is a breather moment. Oh, you know, in life, let's take this breather moment and just thank God that he loves us. Thank you, God. You know, the word says that his banner over you is love. There's other verses that talk about how he sings over you. He loves you this morning. This morning, Father, we don't want to just know information about your love, but we want to receive your love into our life. Let you love us. Receive your love this morning, God. We love you. Father, my prayer is that as we love you and we experience your love, that God, you would help us to make love our highest goal. That you help us to keep looking at your love in wonder. And Lord, that you would help us to walk in love towards others and towards you more and more. Jesus, make us more like